Welcome to the weekly teaching program from Finally Alive Ministries with pastor and counselor Gary Aris. Gary is a full-time pastoral counselor and teacher of God's Word. He has a remarkably deep passion to see people set free in Christ. You may call our prayer line at 657-246-2464 or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. That's prayer@finallyalive.com. Now, let's join Gary as he shares some amazing truth from God's counsel in this week's teaching.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris, your very own Christian counselor. I hope you've been well. Ooh, and, last month was a tough month. so much going on. You know, many battles, many struggles. And I share that with you because, hey, I want to be real. I want you to realize that all of us have struggles and all of us will have struggles. That is part of life. But what makes us as Christians different is that we will still continue to trust God. You know, we live in a day and age that sounds ridiculous. To trust God? Yes. You and I are part of the ridiculous. Just like Paul, just like Peter. You and I are of the camp that may be considered outsiders, but it's better to be an outsider in the world than an outsider in the kingdom of God. That's what makes us different. Our kingdom is not of this world, and this world will not appreciate that. But our kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that Yahweh himself runs, our hope is in him. Our hope is in his son, Jesus Christ, and what he's done. As it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." This is a race we are all running. You've got to realize the prince of this world does not want you to win that race. But you run with everything you've got. Verse 2 says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Keep your focus right. The world is not going to appreciate us, but that isn't the kingdom we're trying to impress. Let's not get our kingdoms mixed up. We are of a heavenly kingdom, not a worldly. I encourage you with those words. Our topic today, is marriage actually valuable? I'll give you the answer right away. Yes, it is. Now, who instituted marriage? Where did marriage even begin? Now, when it comes to the ceremony of marriage, that's actually a more modern thing that we do. Nothing wrong with it. But the ceremony is a little different than what they would do in the ancient days. It seems, though, that the source of marriage is actually straight from the Bible, from the Old Testament, the Torah, and it also reflected again in the New Testament. So it's interesting that both covenants mention marriage, slightly different, but the same idea. So speaking of the Bible, in Genesis 1, God goes through his creation process. And after he does his work, he calls it good. In fact, the first time the words "not good" are found in the Bible are in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, which reads, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." The first time you hear "not good" out of God's mouth is when man is alone. We see here clearly what God's thoughts are on humankind. It is that we're not supposed to be alone. You know, we're not made to be hermits. You know, we're made to be together, to socialize. Granted, some people don't need as much socializing. I don't need much. But I do notice that when I'm alone for a long period of time, I notice my mood starts to change for the negative. And then when I go and hang out with people and socialize a little bit, I actually start to feel a little bit better. And then there's other people who thrive and live off of socializing with people. That's both fine. They're all okay. But realize, no matter how much or how little you need socializing, we all need at least a degree of socializing. And according to, I guess I could say, page 2 of the Bible, that wasn't the intent of God, to allow man to be alone. And here he tells us, he gives him a helper, fit for him. And there, if you will, is your beginnings of marriage. Sure, it doesn't say marriage. Sure, it doesn't talk about a holy matrimony or anything like that. But then again, who would he do all that for? Who would the ceremony be for? I would even say the ancient way of doing the ceremony is that simply that these two met. Not that there's anybody else to pick out of, but they were made for each other. And that's what marriage is. Male and female are made for each other. What the male lacks, the female has. What the female lacks, the male has. It's a perfect fit. The matrimony, actually very ancient style here, is in Genesis 2:23, and that says, "Then the man said," this is after the woman was brought to him by God, it says, "Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So here we see a precedent is set that when marriage, if you will, happens, the two become one flesh, but also there's a separation from the parents, creating a new relationship and eventually a new family. Now, without getting too far into explaining the depths of biblical marriage, which is worth actually the study, we can fast forward in the Bible, and God begins to give them laws on how a marriage, if you will, is supposed to happen. Believe it or not, the Israelites, and actually many other cultures, would actually purchase the wife. Yeah, you heard me right. They would actually purchase the wife. Again, customs were different back then. So what would happen is a man would go to the woman's father, and they would actually begin to, if you will, barter over that woman. But think of the logic. We kind of still do that. At least in America, what we do is we as the guys buy her a ring. The bigger the ring, the better, right? Just the way it is. Now, granted, we're not buying her. But let's realize that there is a type of exchange happening there. And here's the ancient idea. It isn't just that, oh, I'm buying your daughter. If you came and paid that high price, it also showed the daughter's father that you were worthy of taking care of his daughter. This is an important part of marriage. We as men cannot shy away from providing for this house. And I know in at least here in California, it's a little different. Typically, both husband and wife kind of have to work. Economics here, it's nothing to be happy about. That's just a fact of life for a lot of people. But I will say that even biblically speaking, we as the men need to provide. It is our job, it is our duty to do that. You know, falling in love, getting the butterflies, you know, feeling romantic or I feel like this is the one, doesn't cut it. As men, we need to be providers. See, women require protection. Women require stability. Not only can you do that with your muscles, you've also got to do that financially. I'm not saying you have to be this multimillionaire. That's an extreme. But you've got to be willing to provide. You've got to be willing to provide for a household. And it's understandable to be between jobs, but there's got to be a point in place where you say, no, I've got to put down childish things and start to do things that will provide for my home, for my family, for my wife. So again, Old Testament, that was one end of the spectrum where he came through, purchased his bride, if you will, which also proved that he was worthy and was capable of taking care of this man's daughter. On the other hand, typically part of the deal, I hate to use these words, but that's just the way it was in the Old Testament, but part of the deal with purchasing her isn't that, oh, she's cute or something like that. Typically, it's because she's worthy. She's got something of value that this man wanted. It wasn't just butterflies in the belly. See, back then, being a culture surrounded by agriculture, you needed a woman who would, one, listen to her husband. And that's a tough one these days. Hey, look, I'm taking shots of the guys. Ladies, I'm going to take some shots here too. But that biblical obedience to one another has become a weakness today. So one, she would be willing to listen to her husband. But on the other hand, he's also got to be worthy of being listened to. Number two, bearing children was very important back then. Today, it's kind of a novelty. It's cute. It's fun. How many kids do you want? Oh, I want this many. Oh, that's cute. That's fun. That's nice. And that, look, and that's all great, okay? Nothing against that, all right? But their culture was not like that. For them, the more babies, the better. You needed someone to take care of their land. It's either that, or you hire people to take care of your land. It's a lot more beneficial that the kids take care of the land, and later on they can split it up and create their own families, typically on a big piece of land. So basically, when he was purchasing a wife, he's basically purchasing a teammate to create his own camp, his own family, to create, in a sense, his own dynasty. And that's where the teamwork started. Now, if we look at that as a type of model, obviously we don't live in that age and we're not going to do things the way that they did back then. But look at the idea. Couple of important things. They both had to bring value. I would say this way very loosely, on the man's side, he had to bring, if you will, in today's terms, the financial aspect. Fellas, we have to be breadwinners. We have to be willing to take care of this household. We cannot be lazy. You know, other situations might be where perhaps, you know, especially here in California, I'm very close to LA. So I've met a lot of people who want to be artists. Well, that's great. But it's very difficult to be an artist and a family man. Not impossible, but it's very difficult. It's very likely that you're going to add a lot of pressure to this household. So be aware of that. You know, there's this term, gold diggers. You know, I would say women, yeah, to a degree, need to, in a sense, be gold diggers. Not in the sense of looking for ridiculous riches, but a man who's willing to work and provide. On the other hand, what do men need? It's going to sound very shallow. And the gold digger, that's so offensive. How dare you say something like that? Well, fellas, let's be realistic. Again, she needs security. She needs stability. It is our job as men to bring that stability there, to that household. Now, again, I'm going to be very offensive on both sides, but the truth is the truth. Now, on the women's side, ladies, you're going to hate me for this one, but men are stimulated by their eyes. This sounds so shallow, and how dare you say this, Gary? I know. I can already hear you telling me and getting mad at me. But this is the truth. I'm not saying you've got to be a model or anything like that. And fellas, to look for a model, you're being ridiculous. Okay, just like if a woman was only looking for billionaires. That's ridiculous. Okay, let's be realistic here. But look, ladies, look nice. Look good. You don't have to go overboard. I'm not saying, you know, it's something ridiculous here, but look, look good for your husband. You know, take care of each other. But look, it's as simple as that. And the second thing that men need is to feel respected, where women need to feel loved. Again, this is just general. This is just general stuff. I don't want to get too far into this today. But these are the general requirements on both sides. He needs to find a job. He needs to work. And he needs to feel respected. She, on the other hand, if she can take care of herself, again, I'm not saying she's got to be a model. That is, ladies, I'm not saying that. Please do not misunderstand me. But take care of yourself.
Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. FinallyAliveRadio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. Visit us at FinallyAliveRadio.com. That's FinallyAliveRadio.com.
Now, Ephesians chapter 5 starts off with the idea of walking in love. And then if you fast forward to verse 22, Paul actually gets into what the wife needs and what the husband needs. And let me just read through it. So Ephesians 5:22 starts off with, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord." Now, I know we have a weird idea of submission, and I'm not saying that you must bow down to him and worship him and kiss his feet or anything like that. But this is the element of respect. If you want your man to feel like a man, you have to respect him. But on the other hand, fellas, you've got to give her something to respect. It's a two-way street. It doesn't work one way. So notice right off the bat, it starts off with, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." So just as, and here's your comparison, Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the household. Great comparison there. "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." So ladies, it's giving you three verses in a row about submission. It is that important. And again, I'm not talking about weird extremes. I'm not saying you've got to kiss his feet and bow down to him. But that element of respect is this important. And I want you to notice that the word love towards your husband is not going to come up in these verses. But it will come up speaking about the wife. And here it is, verse 25. "Husbands, fellas, love your wives." It's the first thing he tells us. Women need love. Women need to feel cherished. So fellas, if you think about it, if you can love and cherish her, how much easier is it going to be for her to respect and submit to you? Do you see? Two-way street. "So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." So fellas, part of the way you're loving her is you're sanctifying, meaning you're separating her. Part of the separation is I'm protecting her, cleansing her by the washing of the water with the word, meaning, fellas, you have to understand biblical principles. You have to realize if you're going to be the head of the house, you have to bring something to the table. Working is great, but working isn't the end-all be-all. A lot of guys have this issue. Hey, if I'm going to work, you handle everything else. Well, look, to a degree, understandable. But then again, the rules can be modified if both parties are working. Again, every household is a little bit different, and that's fine. If it works for you, you do what you got to do there. So she's being cleansed by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So fellas, it's our job to protect her and not to tarnish her name or her reputation, because our responsibility is to present her without spot or wrinkle. And that's not talking about physical. We're talking about a spiritual aspect, and also a status aspect. You know, we can't go out there, fellas, and start to badmouth our wives. That's not going to do us any good. And it actually ruins your reputation as the husband because you are the head of the household. So really think about these things. Verse 28 says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And let's talk about that aspect of love. You know, love has many facets. It isn't just hugging and kissing and I love yous. That's one aspect. That's just one thread of love. Another aspect of love is, fellas, we've got to be go-getters. We have to be able to provide. We have to learn to look ahead, to strategize. You know, I'll even go here. Your retirement, sir, your retirement. If you're the head of the household, you're also responsible for your retirement. So if you haven't thought of these things, you need to sit down and think of these things. And if you feel like it's too late, look, talk to somebody about that, okay? Call a financial advisor, go to the bank, talk to people about what you need to do, about getting stuff straight. Remember, my stance is always, there's a way, all right? There's always a way. There's always an answer. You know, being believers, there's always an answer. But you've got to be willing to get out there and figure these things out. This is part of you loving your wife as your own body. And look, let's be realistic. You know, not all men are made that way. And guess what? For you, sir, talk to your wife about it. She's your teammate. You know, maybe she's better at finances, or maybe she's better at talking, or she knows the questions to ask. You're okay if you go to her and say, hey, look, can you help me out with this? I want to get this stuff in order. What do we need to do? Who do we need to talk to? Maybe she's got that stuff better. That's okay. You're not bad for that. You wouldn't be considered less than if you ask good questions. You're still being responsible. And if neither one of you guys know, ask around. So you've got to love your wife as you love yourself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He's actually quoting Genesis, what we just read. And verse 33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself. So fellas, love your wife as yourself. And let the wife, ladies, see that she respects her husband. So two key elements. Fellas, love her just as you love yourself. You take care of her as you take care of yourself. But ladies, respect that man. Notice, like I said earlier, you never see the word love towards the husband in this passage here. Again, that doesn't mean you don't love your husband, but notice what's important. Men need respect. Men need to feel like men. It's just that aspect of God that's in us at being made in the image of God. This is just a part of what God is. I mean, think about God. God wants what? He wants our worship. He wants us to look up to him. He wants us to focus on him. Yeah, men have that too. Again, men aren't God, but we have that God aspect in us, just the way it is. But fellas, you've got to love her, and you've got to figure out what love is to her. See, this is important. You know, sometimes we think, oh, well, I pay the mortgage, or, you know, I give her hugs and kisses. Well, what if that's not her language? Here's a thought. Ask her what she needs. Ask her what she would like. Does she love hugging and kissing? Would she prefer to be taken out on a date? Could be the case. Is she just happy with you having a full-time job and working and taking care of the household? That's fine too. It could be all of those, but a little of each. And that's fine too. To each his own. That's totally fine. The idea of marriage is simple, but it's easier said than done. And it gets complicated, and that's fine. It's just part of life, because we're dealing with people. And let's not forget, most relationships will add people, meaning they will have kids. So that complicates things even more. So the couple must make sure that they're taking care of themselves. It's easy for us to neglect one another as husband and wife, especially when we have kids. It's, oh, geez, been there, done that. Because you get so caught up with the kids, and the kids need this, and the kids need that. That's just the way it is, though. Part of life. But get on it. Do these things. Take care of each other. Have a good, strong, healthy marriage. In the second part of this, I want to share some stats with you that are pretty interesting and just prove how true the Word of God is. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you again for joining us on this week's program with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris of Finally Alive Ministries. We pray that if God has touched your heart with any part of today's teaching, you would respond and move into the healing that God has for you. Visit us at finallyalive.com. There, you can download this episode for free, email your concerns, questions, or share a story of how God is using this teaching to help you grow in Christ and His freedom. If you'd like to call our prayer line, you may do so at 657-246-2464. That's 657-246-2464. Or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. We will meet you again next week at this same time when we look at God's Word with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.